Open your Bibles, if you would, to Acts chapter 11. Nope, Acts chapter 17. Yeah, let's do that one. Acts 17. All right, I have a concept I want to put before you today that sure changes things for me. And it may be something that many of you are already aware of and moving in, and that's a wonderful thing. But I tell you, I'm learning some new things. The Lord is bringing me some new revelations, not new like on the face of the earth, but it's new for me. And actually, there are times, though, when the Lord begins to bring forth revelation in the body of Christ that we find out is what He meant all along in Scripture. We just hadn't been teaching it that way, and we haven't heard it that way. And we find out that it's what the Lord was saying all along. We just have to get back to it and start. We have to learn how to pull ourselves out of our cultural and contextual misperceptions of the way we've always heard something taught, and be able to say, well, what did God mean from the beginning? So I want us to do that today with something. If you're familiar at all with this, then you know that if you've been here, you know that we at Deeper Life, we're obsessed with this thing of the kingdom of God. One of the reasons why is because it was Jesus' message. It was what He came proclaiming and preaching and demonstrating. His sermon was, his sugar stick sermon was, the kingdom of God is here. Okay, so that's, we believe that if it was important to Jesus, it should be important to us. Paul taught on the kingdom of God. This concept of the kingdom of God is central to Scripture. All through the Old and New Testaments, it revolved around the kingdom. Now, what is a kingdom? Well, a kingdom is where a king rules and reigns. So what we're talking about is the government of God, the active working out of the will of God. It's the government of God. So, Mark, what do you mean the will of God? It's kind of like this. It's almost like the kingdom of God that is established on the earth. I read this illustration. I liked it. It said, it's kind of like, you know, God wills His government, His rule and reign to be among us right now. It pleases Him for His kingdom, for His rule and reign to be manifest among us. The same, now it's not like God is continually thinking about it. He has to spend mental energy on creation, you know, making sure that He's willing. It's not like God right now is willing this electron to spin around that thing, other part of stuff. If you say so. But it's not like he's thinking about that the whole time, but it's kind of like this. It's kind of like the furniture in your house or your apartment. You know, the way it's set up is a manifestation of your will. It reflects the way you wanted it to be. Now, you don't have to be thinking about it the whole time, but it remains as a manifestation of the way you wanted it to be. By the same token, God's will is for His kingdom to be manifest among us. He has set up a government and a rule and a reign on the earth. That's good, that flows out of His heart of incredible, boundless love for me and for you. And so this has to do with Jesus praying, let your will be done. God, he chooses for it to be that way. Now, we've begun to see here in the last couple of years this kingdom of God, this rule and reign of God manifest and how it changes our lives. And we've seen people healed. We've seen marriages restored. We've seen incredible stuff happen because we've begun to ask, as Jesus said, Lord, let your kingdom come. And we'll talk about that more in just a few minutes, but what that can mean. Now, so that we think it's important that Jesus stepped on the scene and He said, the kingdom of God is at hand. That's what He preached. In other words, He's saying it's here, it's within your grasp. And then He would demonstrate the kingdom. He would demonstrate it by healing, by delivering people from demons, by raising the dead, by cleansing the lepers. And then He told His disciples to do the same thing. And not just the 12, but He sent out 70, as many as He could train, and sent them out. And He said, okay, now go to all these towns and say, the kingdom of God is here, and then demonstrate it by doing these same things. So we believe that if the kingdom of God is really present, then it should have an impact on our world. It should make an impact on the way we live our lives and the way other people live their lives. And so what we become then as Christians is we become, as Paul said, ambassadors of this kingdom. We are agents of the government of the kingdom in a foreign land, in an occupied land. And so if that's the case, if we get to see the kingdom of God manifest on the earth, then what that means is we are soldiers of citizens of heaven, of another realm, another kingdom, and we get to occupy the land until the king comes to take it back. Now that changes the way you see the whole end times deal. Does that mean we're just scraping along, hiding in a corner while the world gets worse and worse, waiting for God to snatch us out? No. We are ambassadors and we're soldiers, and we've been told to go and take the land and occupy it and extend the rule and the reign of our king in this earth, and say, God, all right, let your kingdom come right here. Let your kingdom come here. Let your kingdom come here. Not just in geographical plots of land, though it does involve that, but in hearts and lives and bodies, all kinds of things, okay? So that's kind of where we jump off from for this thing of the kingdom. Now, I want to show you something today that I've just seen is new. You know, the Lord, we believe God speaks to us, and the Lord wants to speak to us in a number of different ways, all of us. And I've never really heard the Lord much in dreams. I just don't get that. I mean, I have bad taco dreams. You know, I mean, I have what I call Golden Corral dreams. You know, where I go eat there and I can't, and I'm done for the rest of the day. I've got a boulder in my stomach. And so I have, Autumn calls it Golden Growl. That's pretty much, that's accurate for me, because that's what my stomach does all day long after I go to Golden Corral. But, you know, I had those kind of dreams. The other people I knew, but they hear God in their dreams. But lately, I tell you what's been happening is the Lord's been speaking to me even as I awaken from dreams. The Lord's saying something to me that really makes a difference. And that's happened 3 or 4 times in the last couple of weeks. And it happened yesterday afternoon. I actually snuck in a nap for a few minutes. And while I was awakening from this nap, the Lord spoke to me. And there's something that I've been learning this week about the kingdom that honestly, I told Marianne, I said, oh, this is so good. I'm going to teach this, but it's got to be later when I can get my mind wrapped around it. I can't teach it right now. But the Lord woke me up yesterday and said, nope, do it now. And I don't know why exactly, except to say there may be somebody in here. The Lord's preparing us for something, maybe something that you need to hear in this. So I want you to look at our first verse here in Acts 17. Quoted it just a little while ago in our service. I love this. You hear me say this all the time. Verse 28. Watch it. Let's start in verse, let's start further up. Verse 26. Paul is preaching in Athens at Mars Hill, and he says, from one man, he has made every nation of men to live all over the earth and has determined their appointed times and the boundaries of where they live so that they might seek God and perhaps they might reach out and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. Now that's important. And it goes right into the next phrase. For in him we live and move and exist. Now, let's stop right there. It's something interesting Paul says there. He says, God has set people in their times and places of where they live, and he set the conditions of their life so that they might reach out and find him, though he is never far from every one of us. Then he says, it is in him that we live and move and have our being. Now, a traditional way to interpret that has been, well, we're in Christ and Christ is in us, so positionally, because we are in him, then that's... But there's something different going on here, though. Turn to Acts chapter 11. Turn back a few chapters. I want you to see something here about the at-handedness of the kingdom. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is at hand. Now, we know that what that meant was it's within your reach, but I've made up this word at-handedness. Somebody asked me after the early service, is that a real word? I said, it is now. It wasn't before I typed it in my word processor, but now it is. So, but I want you to see something about the closeness, the proximity of this rule, this good, wonderful, benevolent, life-changing rule and reign of God that's available to you. Because this really, guys, I'm telling you, this changes, for me, it changes the way that I pray when I begin to see it like this, the proximity of the kingdom. You know, your Bible is a translation of, in the New Testament, it was written in Greek, and so that it's a translation of that. And there are different translations, and man, you know, a lot of them, they're really good, and I think we need different ones. However, it's unfortunate that there's one phrase, especially here in Acts 11, you'll see, one phrase in the Greek that's translated 3 different ways within about 5 verses. Why don't you see this in Acts 11, verse 5. Peter is relating a vision that he had one day, and he says, I was in the town of Joppa praying, and I saw in a visionary state an object coming down that resembled a large sheet being lowered from heaven by its 4 corners, and it came to me. When I looked closely and considered it, I saw the 4-footed animals of the earth and wild beasts, the reptiles, and the birds of the sky. Then I also heard a voice telling me, get up, Peter, kill and eat. No, Lord, I said, for nothing common or unclean has entered my mouth. But a voice answered from heaven a second time, what God has made clean, you must not call common. Now, there's a phrase that is translated 3 different ways there. sky, air, and heaven. And it's unfortunate because in the Greek it's the same phrase. The phrase is tau aranu. So I would make you say it, but I'm not going to do that. But tau aranu, I know it sounds like a Star Trek name, doesn't it? But tau aranu. And so, but what it means, though, is it's the atmosphere around you. It means of the atmosphere. And so it's translated, though, sky, heaven, and air in those verses. Why is that? I think it's because the translators were trying to get their mind around this deal of what Peter was seeing, and it's all through the Scripture. In fact, in Matthew, the kingdom of God is translated as the kingdom of heaven. Now, the traditional interpretation of that is people have said that Matthew was writing to a predominantly Jewish audience, and so he said heaven instead of writing kingdom of God as God's name because it was considered irreverent to say the name of God. So Matthew substituted heaven for God. And that's true in some instances. However, the more accurate, more literal translation in Matthew is every time he says the kingdom of heaven, it is the kingdom of the heavens. Now, that's important to us. Paul talks about in the Scripture where he knew a man, and we think it was him. He was just being humble about it. He was caught up into the third heaven, which, you know, he saw the throne of God and experienced the Lord in a new way. Now, what we've done is we've kind of defined heaven, and we've categorized the word in Scripture by saying, okay, there's the first heaven, which is the clouds, the air, the atmosphere, the oxygen, all that we breathe. That's the first heaven, the sky, the clouds, the firmament, all that. And then there's the second heaven, which we've said is the place where people go when they die who love the Lord, and that's the other city, you know, with streets of gold, pearly gates, that kind of deal. Then there's the third heaven, and that's where God lives. It's above that, and it's where the throne of God is. Okay, now, there's a problem with that, though. Because we've done that, what we've done is we have conceptually, in our minds, we've pushed God further and further out into that third heaven, where if we're going to get to him, we've got to go through this heaven, then that heaven, to get to that heaven. Okay. Now, we've tried to reconcile that by saying, well, Jesus' blood has placed us in that heaven. And listen, I know that right now the Bible says that Jesus is at the right hand of God, ever making intercession for the saints. Okay, so the Father is, there's a place where he dwells, and Jesus is right there. But the Holy Spirit is also with us, right? We know that. Now, here's what I want you to understand, though. Here's what I think we need to get. This place where God dwells and from which he interacts with us as human beings, as people, we have made a real mistake by considering it a location that is far off from us. Okay? We keep waiting for scientists to look far enough with the Hubble telescope where they can find something they can't explain and say, oh, good, scientists found the throne of God, heaven way off there. Y'all, listen. That's a mistake for us to have said, well, heaven is way off out in the distance. It's past the cosmos. It's beyond the stars. And it's because what happens, it makes God much less accessible for us. And it makes it more difficult for us to pray because what happens is we end up praying as if we got to somehow boost, you know, fill our prayers with some kind of spiritual rocket fuel so that they'll go far enough to reach God. You know, boy, I hope I was good enough today for my prayers to reach the highest heaven. I hope I had my quiet time long enough this morning so that my prayers make it that far. Because if I stopped 5 minutes too soon, they might get this far and go back down. Then we say, well, you know, Jesus takes my prayers to. Okay, well then you know what we do? We still have this location mindset that says, okay, now I got to wait for God to shoot an answer back down. You know, it's like being at the drive-thru at the bank with the vacuum tubes. You know, shoop, doo-doo. And we send our request in, and so we send our vacuum tube of request to the throne of God, and we hope that there's enough blessing in our account where he can send back a blessing. Right? We hope that we've been good enough, or we've been nice enough, or we haven't cussed enough, or you know, or something, so that God can, there's enough in our account where he can bless us, and we expect it to come back through the vacuum tube, and there we have a blessing. You know, but what invariably happens, we need, you know, more identification usually. So, and so we find ourselves waiting, thinking God's going to ask for more ID, you know, on who we really are. So, but we wonder, and we hope, and we wait to see if we can actually get from God what we've requested. And the problem is, it's we've done this because of this idea that God is so much further away. Now, If, though, we understand what this phrase Tauranu means, then we start to understand something about what Jesus meant when he said, the kingdom of the heavens, the rule and reign of God, the government of God, where God manifests, where his will is done, the kingdom of the heavens is at hand. It's with you. It's around you. It is Tauranu. It is of the atmosphere. So the kingdom, this rule and reign of God, is in the atmosphere around you. That's what Jesus came declaring and proclaiming and demonstrating, that the kingdom of God is not some far off thing, but you can reach out and grab it. Man, it's in the atmosphere around you. I've heard a story of Bill Johnson. I've heard him tell this story a couple times in person about a lady in his church who had a dream that she went to heaven, and in this realm of the heavenlies, of where God lives and moves and interacts, she saw a room that was the spare parts room for bodies. He said, I know that sounds weird. He said, but you know, it was a dream she had. But she believed the Lord showed her that where there was a spare parts room. He said, but I got to tell you what happened. She was praying for a woman who had no kneecap. She didn't have a kneecap. And she was praying for it, and she said, I know where to get one of those. So he said she was praying for her, and this woman, while she was praying, reached up into the air, into the spare parts room, and did like this, and put her hand on that woman's knee and prayed for it, and just like that, a kneecap was born on her knee. Within the next 15 minutes, the woman had a brand new kneecap. He said, Mark, that's weird. It is. It really is. That sure is weird. But one thing we've learned here is weird doesn't necessarily mean wrong. It just means different from what we've understood to be reality before. But when we understand that the reality of the kingdom of God is that it is pressing on us right now, it is in the atmosphere around us, it changes the way we pray. Now, I want you to turn back to Genesis real quick. I'm going to show you a few verses quickly. Genesis 21. I want you to see this in the Old Testament, that this thing of God's presence, where he interacts with us from, being in the atmosphere around us, is consistent with everything you see in Scripture. This is the way people always experience the Lord. Genesis 21, verse 17, Hagar is with Ishmael, being kicked out of the house, out in the desert, and she's turned away from him, and it says in verse 17. Genesis 21, 17. God heard the voice of the boy, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, what's wrong, Hagar? Don't be afraid, for God has heard the voice of the boy from the place where he is. Get up, help the boy, and sustain him, for I will make him a great nation. Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. So she went and filled the water skins and gave the boy a drink. Now, it says that God, that the angel of God, which I believe is an Old Testament appearance, and many times in the Bible, is an Old Testament appearance of Jesus, called a theophany, the angel of the Lord called to her. Now it says from heaven. But the idea there, though, is literally from the atmosphere around her. She heard the Lord speak. It's not like in the movies where, you know, God speaks from way up in the sky and it booms down, Hagar, I am God. You know, and it booms down and they go, yes, Lord. You know, and everybody, they hear God like that and they look up in the sky because God's speaking from the sky. Why do we do that? Because we think that's where he is. But in reality, God is here. You say, what do you mean he's here? Well, he's here. The government of God, the kingdom of God, the place where God lives and dwells and interacts with us from is in the atmosphere around you. Now, I can show you more verses. I don't have time right now, but there's more. You keep reading through Genesis, and you'll see where it says that God spoke from heaven. When Abraham was about to sacrifice Isaac, he raised the dagger, and it said, a voice called from heaven. Well, from heaven doesn't mean up from the sky. It means from the heavens, from the atmosphere around him. He heard a voice. What does Isaiah say? And there will be a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Right? Well, we'll whisper in your ear, turn to the right, turn to the left. See, so all we see in the Scripture is that God is an interactive presence with us who exists. Here's the deal, everybody. I want you to see this. God, right now, is occupying the same space in which you live and move and have your being. How do we know that? Because it is in him that we live and move and have our being. Are you following this so far? All right, now I'm telling you, if you can grab this, if you can get this, man, if the Lord can reveal something to you here, it can change the way you pray and minister to people forever. Because now it starts to make sense where Jesus says, okay, pray this way. Our Father, who is where? In the heavens. Our Father who is right here. The kingdom of God is at hand. Our Father who is right here among us, around us, within us, if we're born again. Our Father who is right here, your name is holy. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth just like it is right now being done in that invisible realm that we can't see all around us. Make sense? God, let your will cross over from your reality into our reality. Let your will be made manifest, be revealed, press in on ours. Let the reality of the healing that is in the kingdom of God, of the deliverance that is in the government of God, of the raising of the dead that is in the government of God, God, would you cause that to cross over into our reality, be manifest in what we see, which is less real than where you are. Let your will be done on earth just like right now it is being done in the heavens, in that invisible realm that we can't see. You follow me so far? Now you start to see a little difference here? Guys, I'm telling you, this can change things because no longer now do we pray to a God who is far off and distant and saying, I hope my prayers reach that far and I hope his answer reaches back before I mess it up. Oh, God, hear my... You know, crying... Listen, it's here. The kingdom of God. We've been saying this, guys, every week for a few years now. The kingdom of God is where? It's here. The kingdom of God is here. And because that kingdom, that rule and reign, that government of God is here, it's available to us. Now, that's a whole other message I can't get into right now, but I will. But there's a whole other thing, though, about what that does, everybody, is it helps us see the accessibility of the kingdom. How accessible is it? Listen, I've been to Thailand a couple times, and I love Thai food. I love it. And there is a little stand in Phi Mai, which is where some ruins are. There's a Silk District. There's a little vendor in Phi Mai that sells ducks right out of the window. They're dead already. One of the best meals I ever had was that fresh roasted duck right out of the window. It was great. However, that roast duck is not accessible to me right now. You know why? It's in Thailand. It's in a different place. It's in a different location. It is far away from me. However, if he were here and it were accessible to me, I would probably avail myself of that duck. I would bring the benefits of that duck into my life. That duck would enter my reality. Wait, let me see how far I can go. All right, no. But see what I'm saying is, if I knew it were close, I could grab onto it and I could use it. Everybody, listen. The kingdom of God is not a faraway place in another city in a remote location that someday you hope to get to. The kingdom of God is here. Now, what that means is it is available and accessible for us as ambassadors of the kingdom. Jesus told the disciples, go out and say, the kingdom of God is here, and heal the sick, and raise the dead, and cleanse the lepers, and deliver the demonized, and go tell people the kingdom is here, so that we will stop living at a sub-kingdom level. You follow me? The idea is we stop living at this level where the really good rule and reign, the will of God is that's available to change lives. Stop living at this level where you think that's not available to you anymore. Grab hold to it and get in on it. See, now we've got to learn how to do that. That's where we have to retrain ourselves. How do we grab hold of the kingdom? And that's why we meet week after week, so we can learn more and more about what it means to really access this rule and reign of God. But what I want you to know right now is that everybody, listen, the good news is this was the gospel of the kingdom. The good news of the kingdom is it's here right now available to you. So, where do you need the kingdom to press in on you? Where do you need this rule and reign of God to change your life, to cross over from one realm to the other? You know, I love this in Luke chapter 2, I think, or 1 or 2, where Zechariah is... John the Baptist's father is, he's a priest and he's ministering in the temple. The only time in his whole life he's going to get to do this, and he's ministering. And the angel Gabriel appears to him and says, hey, Zechariah, good news. You and your wife have been praying for a son. They probably stopped praying years ago. So your prayers have been answered and you're going to have a son. And John the Baptist says, how do I know? this is going to happen. I love it. Gabriel says, I'm Gabriel. I just came from the presence of God. And since you like to ask stupid questions, you're not going to get to ask any for the next 9 months. And so he didn't speak until John was born. But the thing is, I love this because he was right there. Now listen, this is before the presence of the Holy Spirit too. So God was right there though in the atmosphere of the Holy of Holies, separated by Zechariah from the veil. I can see Gabriel. All he did was just, I hate to say the word materialized because we use that in so many science fiction things. But he crossed over from one invisible realm into a visible realm so that he could communicate with Zechariah about what the will of God is. He just crossed over. He was made manifest. He was already there, but God allowed him to be revealed. Does that make sense? Being revealed is what we call being made manifest. Something is revealed. So what we're doing is we're asking the Lord, as we pray for Lonnie to be healed, we're saying, God, let the healing that is already around Lonnie, that is in the atmosphere around him, that is part of your rule and your reign, that we believe is there, part of your government, let it now press in on him and be revealed, be made manifest. Let it come into him now and be manifest. Let it cross over from your reality into this reality. Does that make sense? All right, let me read y'all a couple of quotes from a book that I'm reading right now that is rocking my world about this whole kingdom deal. A book called The Divine Conspiracy by Dallas Willard. And this is something that Listen, I got to tell you, Marion said I should tease you with this, so I'll give you a little teaser. I've been learning something about the Beatitudes that completely blows out of the water everything I've ever heard in my whole life about what the Beatitudes are about. And I'll share that with you some other time. All right. I'm telling you, though, listen, when you hear it, it'll blow your mind. It'll change everything. But you know what happens is this. When you hear it, it will all of a sudden, listen, the Beatitudes will make sense to you where they never have before. They'll make sense to you. I can't say I want to go there, but I'm not going to. All right. But I'm just kidding. Let me say this. All right, let me just read to you. Dallas Willard says, the damage done to our practical faith in Christ and in his government at hand by confusing heaven with a place and destined or outer space or even beyond space is incalculable. Of course, God is there too. But instead of heaven and God all being always present with us, as Jesus shows them to be, we invariably take them to be located far away and most likely at a much later time, and not here and not now. And we should then be surprised to feel ourselves alone? He says, at no place, I think, does our contemporary mindset more strongly conflict with the life and good news of Jesus than over the understanding of space. If we are to make sense of Jesus' teaching and practice of the kingdom of the heavens, we must understand what spirit and the spiritual are and how they are in space. Confusing God with his historical manifestations in space may have caused some to think that God is a Wizard of Oz or Sistine Chapel kind of being sitting at a location very remote from us. The universe is then presented as chiefly a vast empty space with a humanoid God and a few angels rattling around in it, while several billion human beings crawl through the tiny cosmic interval of human history on an oversized clod of dirt circling an insignificant star. Now, does that sound like it matches what most people's idea of the universe is like? God's way up there in heaven somewhere, way beyond the stars. He's in heaven somewhere with some angels around him. And then you got a lot of empty space, and then you got us. And hopefully, if we're good enough, or if we believe the right things, then our prayers go all the way there, and his answers come all the way back. Okay? When Jesus came to say, yeah, I took that, and I brought it here. I'm here and I brought my kingdom with me. It's right here. It's around you. It's here. It's at hand. Reach out and grab it. Use it. Get healed. Get delivered. Get saved. Just get the kingdom of God in your life. Let him transform everything about you. Let the rule and reign of God come in. Okay? Let me read this real quick. But the response to this mistake has led many to say that God is not in space at all and that and not that old man in the sky, but instead is in the human heart. And that sounds nice, but it really does not help. In fact, it just makes matters worse. In my heart easily becomes in my imagination. And in any case, the question of God's relation to space and the physical world remains unresolved. If he's not in space at all, he's not in human life, which is lived in space. Those vast oceans of empty space just sit there glowering at the human heart realm where God has supposedly taken refuge from science and the real world. This ill-advised attempt to make God near by confining him to human hearts robs the idea of his direct involvement in human life of any sense. Ironically, it has much the same effect as putting God in outer space or beyond. It gives us a pretty metaphor, but leaves us vainly grasping for the reality. We simply cannot solve the problem of spirit's relation to space by taking spirit out of space, either beyond space or in the heart. So, do you see what I'm saying? Even if we say, well, God's not up in heaven in this vast empty space, He's in our heart. Well, okay, but what that does is that still confines Him to a limited space of whatever we think our heart is, which usually becomes our imagination. What we do is we effectively separate God from what we would call the real world and real life, where I have to go to a job, where I got to raise my kids, where I got to make money to pay bills, where I have to do this. And we say, well, God's in my heart, but He's just going to have to stay there. I'll visit Him tomorrow morning at my next quiet time. Now I got to go live my life. You see what I'm saying? What if, though, we got this idea that God is not confined to the human heart, but instead occupies the world around us? What if we got this idea that God effectively permeates, saturates? What if we understood that the space in which you are living and breathing right now was saturated with the very presence and person and rule and reign of God Himself? How would that change things for you? Man, would it make the benefits and the blessings of the kingdom of God more accessible for you? You think it'd be easier to apply that to your life and to the lives of others around you? You come across somebody who's broken because their marriage has fallen apart. Well, if God is in some distant, far-off space somewhere, all the best you can hope to do is say, well, I'll pray for you, and I'll send some prayers up, and hopefully they'll come back. Once I let them go, who knows what's going to happen to them? I can't promise you anything's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen, but I sure will pray for you. But what if we said, listen, I believe God really wants your marriage to succeed. And I think God wants your husband to come back home. And I think the Lord wants, you know why? Because the Bible says God loves it when husbands love their wives. And God likes it when parents don't provoke their children to anger. And He loves it when hearts of the fathers are turned to the children, and the hearts of the children are turned toward the fathers. He likes that stuff. And so what we do then is we say, Ben, I know your marriage is not in trouble, so I'll use you as an example. Leanne's not here to confirm that, but we'll get her the CD. But if I just, listen, if Ben says, Mark, I need help, my marriage is in trouble, then I can say, well, Ben, I'll pray for you, but who knows what's going to happen. Maybe God will take pity on you and send you the right answer. But what if I'm able to say, Ben, right now you are surrounded and pressed on every, you are saturated with the very presence and the rule and reign of God, and it is available and accessible to you. Let's pray, and let me pray for you, and let's ask the Lord to take that we know is His will and cause it to enter into your reality and come out and be manifest and be revealed. And so that everybody can look at your marriage and say, look what God has done. Now, doesn't that change the way you interact with the Lord here? All right. Let me throw one more thing at you and how this affects our view of death. Do you know that even for a lot of Christians, death is still a very dreadful thing for us to think about because we don't know what's on the other side, so to speak. Let me read you something. I love this. There are two illustrations. Well, let me say this. Dallas Willard says, once we've grasped our situation in God's full world, the startling disregard that Jesus and the New Testament writers had for physical death suddenly makes sense. Paul bluntly states, as we have just seen, that Jesus abolished death. He simply did away with it. Nothing like what is usually understood as death will happen to those who have entered His life. And there are two illustrations about what death can be like. One of them was made famous by Peter Marshall years ago, not the game show host, but the other Peter Marshall, the guy who was a writer years ago. Okay. It's the picture of a child playing in the evening among her toys. Gradually, she grows weary and lays her head down for a moment of rest, lazily continuing to play. The next thing she experiences or tastes is the morning light of a new day flooding the bed in the room where her mother or father took her. Interestingly, we never remember falling asleep. We don't see it or taste it. You ever done that? I know I did it with you. If our kids, when they were little, they'd fall asleep playing on the floor or something, you know? And you take them and you put them in their bed knowing they're going to wake up in the morning not remembering how they got there. All they knew is they were playing with their toys and they fell asleep and they woke up somewhere different. You see, you move from one reality into another reality. And so the other is this. Another picture is of one who walks to a doorway between rooms. While still interacting with those in the room she is leaving, she begins to see and converse with people in the room beyond, who may be totally concealed from those left behind. Before the widespread use of heavy sedation, it was quite common for those keeping watch to observe something like this. The one making the transition often begins to speak to those who have gone before. They come to meet us while we are still in touch with those left behind. The curtains part for us briefly before we go through. Now, do you understand? You're starting to see a little bit the proximity of the reality of this realm that the Bible calls the heavens. It is not intended, everybody, to be something that we just shoot for and we hope to get to someday. The truth of the Word of God is that God is here right now. Now, here's why I think this is important. I think there may be somebody here today that the good news you needed to hear today when you came in, you didn't even know it. You didn't even know that you needed to hear this. But the good news you needed somebody to tell you was there's hope for you for every situation in your life, especially the one that's really pressing, weighing on you now. And the hope is this: I have good news. I have a gospel to share with you. The gospel, the good news is this: the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of the heavens, the God of the heavens, the one who in whom we live and move and have our being. He's right here. He's here. He is occupying the same space that you're breathing in. He's here. The invisible realm, Paul says, is more real than the one we see. He said, because the visible is temporary, while the invisible is eternal. And in fact, everything that we see that we think is the real world came out of that invisible world. It came out of the eternal. This is secondary. That was primary. That came first. So what we don't see around us right now is it's available. So the good news is the kingdom of God is accessible for you today. Now, the only reason you can get in on it, though, is not because of positive thinking. It's because Jesus broke down the wall. Because Jesus ripped the veil in two. Because by His blood and by His sacrifice, Jesus became the bridge. Jesus is the one who brings us together. It's not that it's just available for everybody, no matter what they believe or think. Because Jesus said, unless you're born again, you won't see the kingdom of God. Now listen, He's not talking about you won't see heaven Jesus wasn't saying, unless you're born again, you won't see the place you go to after you die. That's how we usually think of it, right? Unless a man is born again, he won't see the kingdom of God. Unless a man is born again, what we hear is, unless a man is born again, he won't eventually get to go to that good place where people go after they die. Right? But Jesus said this. What he was saying is, unless you're born again, you won't ever get to taste and tap into and experience that rule and reign of God that is here now, that is meant to change your life. So that's what being born again is for. It gets you into that deal. That's a good deal. See, that's a good thing. It's free. Jesus already paid the price for you. All you have to do is say, could I have that? You know, I've never led anybody in a sinner's prayer that said that, but it would have worked. Can I get some of that? That's really all you need. It doesn't have to be, Lord, I thank you. I understand that. I want that. When Jesus said repent because the kingdom of God is here, you know what he's saying? He wasn't saying repent of your sins. Now that's necessary to repent of your sins. What he was saying is change the way you were thinking about everything you were thinking, because this requires a new way of thinking. Turn away from the way you were. Repent. The kingdom of God is here. And so the good news of the kingdom is the kingdom of God is here. When people begin to see that, they start saying, hey, I'm going to change the way I was thinking about everything. All that other stuff, that's not important to me anymore. I want some of that. And whatever I got to give up to get that, I want that. That access to the kingdom. Guys, I'm going to pray. We're going to close. I'm telling you, though, this is a fire in my bones, because I believe with all my heart that if, as Christians, if all of us could grab a hold of this thing, that we have access to the rule and reign of God, and we began to act as if we had the right to gain access to it, which we do. If we started acting that way, I'm telling you, the world around us would be transformed just the way God intended it to be, through His children who have access to that rule and reign of God. Okay, does that make sense? All right. I'm going to pray for you in just a second, but let me take one moment to see if you have any questions or comments about this. Anybody make you think of anything? Yeah, Marianne. Yeah. Well, you know what's funny is, in light of this, it's almost like all the ways we tried to explain it before feel forced. They feel artificial. You know what I mean? Because we're trying to wrap our minds around something. But the fact is, it's Tau Aranu. It's out of the atmosphere. God is in the atmosphere. So that's what I'm going to say to her. Because Autumn asked us last night, where is God? Was Autumn, he is Tau Aranu. Hey, listen, she'll know Greek before she gets to high school. So, all right. Yeah, David.
Where can I go?
Yeah.
Away
from
your presence, if I make my bed in death. Yeah. You're there. If I make my bed in the mountains, you're there. God is, this is one of the things where he says, it's good old news.
Yeah.
David, we know the one thing about David is his heart was toward God. Before there was Jesus, when there was only the promise of Jesus,
mm-hmm.
he told God, I want some of that. And God transcends time. He says, okay.
Yeah. Right.
And what you just said, what you wrote in that, whatever psalm it is, it says, where can I go to escape from here?
See, that's exactly right. So if you start thinking of it this way, you know what you'll find, everybody, when you start reading the Bible? You'll start seeing that this is the way people experienced God all through Scripture anyway.
Yes.
It was already there. We start seeing what's already in Scripture. This is not some new thing where we're seeing, but what we're seeing is this is a new way of thinking about it to understand what the Bible's already saying. Far off. Yeah. Yeah. Doesn't it make life a little more exciting, though, to think that, man, I'm living and moving in the midst of this reality, this realm of the rule and reign of God is right here? I mean, it makes things a little bit more electric, doesn't it? I mean, it makes the possibilities of how we can be ambassadors of the kingdom a little more close and more and more exciting. Yeah, Lisa. Yeah. Right. Yeah. That's right.
And I think that was Lonnie. You know, Lonnie is being, the fire is burning hotter and hotter.
Yeah. Right.
I believe Lee saw something different the next day.
That's right. He did. He something that was invisible, a healing that was already there in the atmosphere, and it became made manifest in him. Now, guys, I tell you, there's still a lot of questions. I don't have the answers for how this works. But I know it works. You know how I know that? Jesus said it did. And so that's enough for me. Yeah, Tiffany?
It's like your Star Trek theme where they couldn't see it.
Yes.
They couldn't see anything that was going too fast.
They were right there, but in moving in a different kind of dimension. Yeah, and see, the thing is, guys, I've been thinking, well, this sounds too much like science fiction. Well, maybe sci-fi kind of had it right. Maybe, you know, maybe there was something that we knew to be real already. We just didn't know how to see it. I mean, maybe that's just a reflection of what the reality already was. And now we're starting to move into that. I don't know. Yeah, John?
Talk about the atmosphere of healing, also the atmosphere of forgiveness.
Oh, man. See, all that, that's an excellent point. And all that, see, and that's just as much part of the rule and reign of God. The government of God is about forgiveness. It's about righteousness. It's about justice. It's about confession. It's about living in the tree of life, talked about last week, about loving one another. All that is that government of God. The government of God is, how does God run his place? What is his will? Man, it's always, yeah, love is just paramount there. Love is the law of the kingdom. So yeah, you're exactly right. So when we move in that atmosphere, you know, we don't have to go get forgiveness for somebody. It's right there. We can access it. That's good. Jeannie? Yeah, yeah. He was already, it's like he was already with them, but he revealed himself to be there while they were in the fire so that Nebuchadnezzar could see it. That's right. Shh. They were in a different dimension. The kingdom of God surrounded them. I love it. Yeah, Kelly?
Mm-hmm.
See, yeah. See how, yeah, that's so good. How could that be? Yeah. Psalm 39. See, 139. How could that be if God's some distant, far off God who has to hear you from there and answer from heaven? Y'all, listen. The life that we live in Jesus is Tau Aranu. It is from the heavens. It's from the atmosphere around you. And so we say, our Father, who is in the heavens, your name is holy. Let your kingdom come now in this realm. Let your will be done in this realm the same way that it is right now being done in the invisible realm that we can't see. Y'all stand up with me. Let me pray for you. Here's what I'd like to do today. I just want to do this a little bit differently. Sometimes we have more time. What we do is we like to have you praying for each other, and we normally do that, but here's what I'd like to do. I just want you just to kind of reach out and grab it. So we're going to make a prophetic move. If today, if there's any area in your life in which you know that you need to see the rule and reign of God being manifest, if you would like to see that good government of God, everything that He wills, being made reality in your life, if you need to see something change in your life or something that you're praying for, would you just lift your hand? I'm just going to ask you. Good. Every head raised, every eye looking around. Good. All right. If you would, keep your hand up. And what you're doing, as you're doing that, just envision that you're reaching into that atmosphere around you. Okay? What you're doing, you're piercing through one realm into another. And your hand is accessing that atmosphere, the Tau Aranu, accessing the heavens, the kingdom of God. And what we're going to do is just agree with you. Okay? Father, right now, Lord, we stand in the... we stand for ourselves, we stand for those we're praying for. And God, as we reach into the atmosphere around us, we know that you are here. Lord, I believe that there is healing right now that some people are reaching for, that right now, maybe for the first time ever, they're getting it. They're grasping it. They're grabbing onto it. So Lord, our prayer today is that you would let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on the earth, in the visible realm that we experience, just like your will is already being done in the heavens all around us right now. Lord, cause your goodwill to be made manifest in our lives in every way. For yours is the kingdom, and yours is the power, and the glory is yours forever. Amen. Amen. Good. God bless you guys. You glad you're here? Yeah, me too. God bless you.